Praise the Lord. We're glad and happy Mother's Day to all you mothers that are watching. No service tonight because of Mother's Day. We're just going to take off and have a wonderful day. So June 9th, we have a water baptismal service coming up, and there's a baptismal service sign-up sheet in the back on the back table. So we've said a few things about it. We'll say more. We'll actually have a teaching on it. If you have not been baptized since you received Christ, it's very important that you do. And if you receive Christ and you walked away and you feel like, because one of the things about baptism, water baptism, is that it's a real testimony to the church and to the world of your where you're walking and where you choose. And man, it was in the day and hour that it was first initiated, it was a total turning and a total divorcement from not only paganism if you were a Gentile, but Judaism if you were a Jew. It meant I am totally walking away from this. And so it carries that strong, it's been lessened in the hour that we live, but it should not be, because it's a very strong message to everyone and to yourself, to the church and to the world. If you were baptized as a small child and you don't really remember it that well, I know Harry said he's going to be baptized, which is great. That's one of our worship leaders. I don't know, maybe Mavis is. Wonderful. Praise God. That's great. So there we know these are some strong millennials in our group that are, serving the Lord, but yet they want a testimony. We're going to film it. It'll be on YouTube, so the whole world will be able to see it. Amen. And so your testimony will be there. So we're excited. That's going to be June 9th, and then we'll have a reception for everybody, and everybody will be welcome to come back and be a part of that. I'm excited about this morning because, I get to kind of take the day off, not completely. But we're going to hear from some of our wonderful mothers here this morning, and I'm really excited about that. We appreciate all the mothers that are here and all you ladies, and those that are watching. I'm not necessarily a theme pastor or a event type teacher that necessarily says, okay, that day is coming up, and we've got to prepare a message accordingly. Neither do I try to just rebel against it, just to show that I'm not a carbon copy of trying to do something. But I try to listen, and the Lord at times will take on the event of the day and use it for His glory. Well, a couple of months ago, surprisingly to me, the Lord began to deal with me and said, "What I want you to do is I want you to have a number of ladies that are mothers share for the Mother's Day service." So that was wonderful to hear, and then I let it go for a couple months, and the Lord just reminded me last week, and I was like, "Whoa, well, we just got a week to or a few days to get this done." And so I've contacted a few, five actually during the week, that have accepted this ministry to help to minister along with me today and to just share whatever God would place on their heart. I just felt like for Mother's Day, it would just be wonderful to hear from some of our wonderful godly mothers. And I certainly didn't have the opportunity. This was not whose favorite. This was not an opportunity to have everybody speak. We're going to do this again. There'll be more in the future. So there's not enough time to have all the wonderful mothers in here speak, but we're going to hear from a few of them, and so I'm going to introduce them one by one, and they'll come and share for a few minutes or 10 minutes or so, or however, and if revival breaks out, then they can continue to, if the first one starts, miracles start happening, then hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I just lost my job, and so we're good to go, hallelujah. So we here at the Family Prayer Center, we have no problem recognizing the strength, the validity of the woman in ministry as well as the man. And so it's very easy to offer this pulpit and just say, speak the word. The first lady that is up is a young lady that I have known ever since she was born, and a little bit 9 months before she was born. And I'm speaking of my oldest daughter, Amber Deshay. She was a Flint, and then that seagull boy come along and got her. But Amber is, I've watched her, Amber, as a mother, and she's a wonderful mother, Christian mother. She has a life that follows Christ, and so I'm excited to hear from her this morning. Would you welcome my eldest daughter, Amber Siegel?
And this really isn't any type of teaching or anything. It's just to some important women in my life. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I know motherhood is not pretty. It is messy. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about. When my dad asked me to say something, I think it was on Thursday about 5 p.m. I had just gotten home from work, and I was done. My brain was fried. I had just spent 8 hours with 16 3-year-olds, and I still had to make dinner and do homework with Aubrey. So my first thought was, I don't have time to think of what I want to say between now and Sunday. If I'm going to write something to my mother, I want it to be well thought out and not a last-minute thing. I think Dad could tell I was a little overwhelmed at the moment, so he said, just share something if God gives it to you. On Saturday afternoon, I found a moment to stop and ask if God had anything he wanted me to say, and this is where my thoughts were led. There are two women in my life who are the best mothers I've personally ever known, and I want to be more like both of them. The first is not hard to figure out. It's my mother. Most of you know her as Miss Candy. I'm sure you all see her as sweet, caring, loving, the perfect grandmother, mother, and wife. While that is all true, I want to tell you about a different side of her, a side that doesn't always look like the package. You see, what you don't know about her is that she is as tough as nails. This woman can endure anything and not even flinch. One time when she was a young girl, she broke her kneecap while riding a dirt bike, and because she didn't want to bother anybody, she waited until it turned black and blue, and she could not walk to let her parents know how badly she was hurt. My mom has hiked the Grand Canyon alongside my dad. She has gone whitewater rafting in some of the most dangerous waters and almost lost her life. She is able to dive deeper than most people can without any professional training. Once, she even rescued my dad when his eardrum burst while swimming in the springs of North Florida. My mom can endure any. My mom can endure anything, and she wouldn't have any idea how to be selfish. She's the type of woman that you want to be able to give everything to simply because she asks for nothing. She is the type of person who could easily be taken for granted because you never have to live in fear that she'll be angry with you if you forget something like a birthday or a Mother's Day. It isn't that mom doesn't like to be thought of or appreciated, but she has found her significance in this life by having a relationship with her creator. Mom, I can remember as a child wanting to be like you when I grow up, and I still feel the same way. Thank you for all that you do for every member of our family, and thank you for teaching me that a mother should not demand respect from her children, but should simply live a respectful life and lead by example. The second woman who I would like to be more like is my little sister. Over the past year, I have learned just how tough and amazing she is. You see, I was a stay-at-home mom for 7 years, and at times I felt overwhelmed, but I didn't know what overwhelmed was until about 9 months ago when I started working. My little sister has been a full-time working mom for 8 years, and she's amazing at it. So, Davey, you are tougher than me. There are times that I've called her over the past year and cried and asked, how do you do it and keep the house clean? And she'd laugh and say, that's the problem. You're still trying to keep your house clean. So thank you, Davey, for giving me the advice and the comic relief I've needed over the past year. I love how we can stay on the phone for an hour or more and laugh the entire time. It's funny. The little girl I shoved around because she was so annoying grew up to be my best friend and someone that I look up to. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms. I hope each of you have a blessed one, because you deserve it.
Hallelujah. I didn't know she was going to throw me under the bus. Man, I had two daughters. Jeff's got four, so if I need sympathy, I'm going to go to him after the service. So, hallelujah. The next lady is a wonderful lady. She has served this church in an incredible way. Candy and I have known her and her family for going on almost 20 years now, and that's Miss Gay Plamondon, and she is one of our, her and her husband serve as elders in our church. They're both ordained under this ministry, and I could stand up here all day and say all the wonderful things that they together have been a part of helping out with this church through the years, and but with no further ado, Gay, would you please come and share? Hallelujah.
I really feel like I should have written mine down so I could just read it. I want to talk today about the destiny in my family, the legacy that my mom left for me. When my mom and dad first got married, they lived on a ranch, a 2,000-acre ranch, in Reliance, South Dakota. When my dad was 19 years old, he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, youth onset. And it was rough. His older sister was also diagnosed. And actually, she was the first young girl to be diagnosed with youth onset diabetes in the entire state of South Dakota. And this is about 70, 80 years ago. And so my mom and dad lived on this ranch, and one day my dad went out on his horse to mend fences. And later that day, the horse came back without him. And so my mom sent her nephews, my cousins, Tim and Dave, to go out and find him. Now it's a 2,000-acre ranch, and there's a lot of fence. And they kind of knew basically where he was. So they went out to find him, and they found him. And he had real low blood sugar, and he had passed out. And so after that, his doctor said, you need to move to a warmer climate for your health. And he had a choice. He could go to California, where some of his cousins lived, or he could move to Florida, where his older sister had already moved for the same reason. So he moved to Fort Lauderdale. We lived. And he moved with his young wife, his young daughter, who was two, and my younger sister, who was 6 months old, and moved to Florida, Fort Lauderdale. He got a job artificially inseminating cattle over here in Corkscrew. So we moved over here. And everything was good. He had his little family with him. But just a couple years later, he contracted a virus, a very rare virus, and he suddenly died. And my mom had taken him to the emergency room, but overnight he passed away and went home to be with the Lord. And I was 5 years old, and my sister was three. And at that time, I had already developed a personal relationship with the Lord. And I made Jesus my daddy. And I would talk to him, and I would spend time with him, and I would just, every feeling that I had, every thought that I had, every desire that I had, I would share with him. And it sounds so sad that, you know, he would pass away at 29 years old. My mom had only lived here a couple of years. She had older five brothers and sisters still in South Dakota, and her mom, but she did not move back. She stayed here, and she raised her children, and that was the destiny that our family had. She was being directed of the Lord, and she stayed here. I believe I probably would have moved back. She was only 27 years old, two young children. We had a foster boy living with us. So it was three of us when my dad passed away. And but she was strong during that time. She took us to church. We went to the Methodist church in Golden Gate. And we grew up in the church. And when I was about 14 years old, I went on a field trip to Mexico. And one night, I was staying there in this, like, villa-looking thing, and it had a veranda, like a terrace balcony-type thing, and I walked out on it, and I said, Lord, this is so beautiful. It was a mountain range. You could look down in the valley. And as soon as I started talking to him, he came to me. And it's just like now, you know, when the Lord is there, the tear rolls down your cheek, and you're not crying, but you can feel his presence. And he was there, and I started to cry, and the tear came down my cheek. As soon as it did, I went into the Spirit. And of course, I'm only 14 years old, so I don't even know what's really happening to me. But I go into the Spirit, and I see this tear fall down. And it falls down onto the rock in the valley. And it joins with another tear, another drop of water. And it turns into a stream. And all the streams come together into a mighty river. All these streams. And in the Spirit, I see this river crash into the ocean. And the ocean is a sea of people of every color and creed. And the Lord says to me, I'm going to use you in the end time revival. And when he said that, I'm 14, I'm going to a Methodist church. I've never heard the word revival. I don't know what that means. But I could see it in the vision, all the people. And he says, I'm going to gather them all to myself. And that was the destiny that my mom and dad followed. And I was born for such a time as this. And all of us were born in for such a time as this. And my children, I'm just very thankful this Mother's Day. Mother's Day is important to me because it's just one more day where I remember that destiny, where I remember that legacy. And I don't take it for granted that my mom and dad are here every service with me, and my children are here with me, and Sarah and Gabe and Bailey. You know, I don't take it for granted that they're here. And it is a blessed time for me. And I want to encourage you that this is the right way. This is our destiny. We have been called. We have been set apart, sanctified for kingdom purposes, for building his kingdom. And a tribute to that was the way that I named my children, Henrietta Mavis. Henrietta was named after her great-grandmother, Marty's grandmother, who, when they were in their 40s, got born again. They were devout Catholic in a church, or in a small town that only had a Catholic church where everyone was Catholic. They got born again. They turned their gift shop into a Christian bookstore. They started selling Bibles. They put big signs on their roof that said, Jesus is coming and Jesus is Lord. And so that church, they started a church in their house, and that church is still going today. And so that was like a legacy, and I wanted to name Mavis after her. And Harry Benjamin, Harry's named after my dad, Harry, who followed the leading of the Lord. He could have went to California, and what a tragedy that would have been. You know, hey, so, I mean, the Lord was leading us here. And Robert Boaz. Boaz, he's a type and shadow of the kinsman redeemer of Jesus, redeeming us from sin. And Renee Maranatha, you know, Maranatha, that's a long middle name, but it means come, Lord Jesus, come. It says that's what I wait for. That's what I long for. And Abigail Jubilee. Jubilee, the year of Jubilee. You know, but of course, if I had another kid, I probably, hopefully it would have been a boy, and I would have named him Raging Revival Plamondon, you know. You know, but praise God, that's over for me, but it's still left over for Sarah. And Mavis, Raging Revival Rodriguez, sounds cool, right? And you could get a lot done with that, because she's got 26 acres, so she goes out the back door and she's got to call him, Raging Revival, you come here. You know, she'd be getting a lot done with that, you know, confessing and, you know, so, but anyway, I just want to bless you mothers and say happy Mother's Day. And at first, when Pastor came up to me, you know, to ask me to say some or whatever, he said, now 5, 6, or 7 minutes. So I'm like, okay, I really got to control myself. Okay, got to stay focused. But then this morning, he gave me a text. He said, 10 minutes. And so I was like, oh, okay. Because the whole time this week, well, since Wednesday that I was thinking about this, every time I got quiet, I felt like the Lord said, would say something. I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't know. I don't want to get preachy, and I only have 5 minutes, and I don't know if I want to do that. And I kept like, no. But then when he said 10 minutes, I was like, oh, I really have to say what I really felt like the Lord was saying. And every time I got quiet, I would hear this in my spirit. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And I know what he was saying by that. All of us here, most of us, have been coming to this church for a long time. And we are afraid. We're afraid of getting to know each other. And it's for many reasons. Experience has schooled us a little bit, but we can't let that. The Bible says, how can you say you love the Lord who you can't see if you don't love others and if we don't love each other? And the way that we get to love each other is we have to know each other. See, that's what's the problem with the church today, is that they don't know God. They think God lets everybody go to heaven. There's no hell. There's no consequence of sin. He's not holy. That is a false God. They don't know the Lord. To know him is to love him. And that's the same with us. We need to know each other. And we're afraid. And the Lord is saying, don't be afraid anymore. We can talk to each other. We can hang out. And I know that it's been hard because you learn about people. The world has told you that familiarity breeds contempt. Don't listen to that. That is not the word of God. We need to know each other so that we can love each other. And I used to think of Josh and Corey when they came and worked with me. I used to tell Josh all the time, Josh, I really love you being here. Because you're kind of like the Apostle John to Jesus. The Apostle John, remember, he said, I'm the faithful witness. Well, that's what Josh was to us, because he's the only one that really knew us, because he kind of followed us around a lot. And, you know, he knows I cuss. You know, while I was in the bee yard and you're carrying this thing and you drop it on your foot, you know, stuff comes out or whatever. Or like, you know, you're all suited up. You're not supposed to get stung, bam, right in the eye, you know. So words have come out. And but Josh is our faithful witness. And but he can't be the only one. We need to get to know each other so that we can love each other. Okay, so I'm going to share one thing. One thing. okay, one thing. And I didn't want to share this because it sounds a little preachy, but the Lord says, you are a mother. You can act like a mother. So as a mother, I want to say one thing. Coming to church late is silent rebellion. Enough said.
Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Man. I would have paid for that, but hallelujah. Man, that's good. That's really good. When the Marty and Gay came here, they just had three, and then Robert was like in diapers or something. Yeah. And so, man, we've enjoyed their ministry and all their kids. I just wish they'd have had 10 more. So we could have got a whole lot more done, but hallelujah. Amen. We appreciate that, Gay. That was wonderful. The next lady is a preacher, and she's in the back. I'm going to give her a heads up to start walking this way. But I want to say that we've known this couple, Candy and I, for a number of years. And Rex and Marcia Johnson, they are elders in our church, and they are also ordained under this ministry. And we're excited to hear from Marcia this morning because she's a wonderful woman of God. Hallelujah. Her and Rex serve together as the president, and they serve over Florida as the Tribe of Judah Motorcycle Club, and they head over the whole state of Florida, maybe this whole region. But Marcia is a wonderful teacher of God's Word, and I've asked her to come and share her thoughts this morning. God bless.
Thank you. Well, happy Mother's Day, all you moms. Oh, and all you out there, all you mothers. Happy Mother's Day to you, too. I wanted to share a little bit on my heritage, also in the Lord, because that's what is the best, is knowing God, even from a small child. And I thank the Lord for grandmothers. They were mothers, then they were grandmothers and great-grandmothers and on. But I had a grandmother who really instilled the Lord in my life. I remember getting to spend the night at her house, and she always read her Bible every night. And she played the piano, too, and sang. And one of her favorite hymns and songs was Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And she always sang songs about loving Jesus and letting him be first in our lives. And so that was a heritage that I got to have. And my own mother, she even reads the Bible every day, continually. She has continued on all these years, loving Jesus, and a mighty woman who served us kids and was a hard worker, because my dad got sick when he was 29, and she had to take over the house and go outside the home and work. And I just appreciate her so much, how she always was such a hard worker. And then my mother's mother, I didn't get to know her because I was only 2 when she passed away of cancer. But I found out years later, and so did my mother. My mother didn't even know this about her mom, but her mother took her to church. But her mother's favorite scripture was Ephesians 3:20. And that's the one that says, "Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." That is an awesome word. That was one of my favorite scriptures, and I never knew it was my grandmother's favorite scripture. And that's so important. Just think about it. Everything that we ask or think, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that. So we need to have our words and our thoughts be according to God's plan, according to God's purpose. Speak out what God says about us and our children and our mates and everyone that we know. And Gay saying, we need to get to know each other better. But you know, the reason why we don't want to get to know each other better is because we know our own faults. And we're afraid that if somebody sees our fault, then it will hinder our witness or they won't love us anymore. But you know what? God's love is unconditional. And that's even what a mother's love is too. It's unconditional. And we need to love each other unconditionally. When we see a fault in someone, pray that they get the victory in that area in their lives. And don't share it with someone else, but take it to God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, pray for one another that we may be healed. We'll be healed of our own faults when we pray for others when we see a fault in them. And that was something the Lord showed me years ago when I really sold out to God. I would see things in people's lives, and that's what he said to me. He said, that's not for you to tell anyone else, but that's so you can bring it to me, and I can make a change in their life. You pray that their will be turned over to my will, to my plan, to my purpose, because we do all have shortcomings. And I don't have it with me today, and I even left my phone at home, so I couldn't look it up. But my favorite scripture is in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. That talks about God's love. And I love it in the Amplified Version because it says, we do not pay attention to a suffered wrong. We don't. And that we aren't offended in any way, that we truly walk in God's kind of love. And that's the kind of love that I want produced in my own life and see it in others' lives. And that's a scripture that Rex and I, when we do the Tribe of Judah Motorcycle Ministry, and there's times Rex got to marry some of those that we minister to, and we always give them a plaque that has their name, their wedding date, and then 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8 in the Amplified Version. And it says real love at the heading of it. You know, and so it's so important that we walk in God's love and be like him. And I wanted to share another scripture. It's in 2 Timothy 1, 5. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. And he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. See, Timothy had things in him because of his grandmother and because of his mother, because of women of God. And so mothers, grandmothers, we have such an important role to play in all of our families' lives and even our neighbors' lives, that their lives can be changed because we can show forth the true love of God, how God wants it to be in his family. You know, just like Gay seeing that ocean as a sea of people, his people. He wants people to come to know him. The Bible says that hell enlarges itself every day. That's because God never planned hell for mankind. That was for the devil and his fallen angels, but not for mankind. So that's why it's important for us to be the mothers, the grandmothers, to be the people of God, to show forth the things of God, to show forth truly his love, which is the greatest thing of all. And it's We can only have that as we ourselves have that personal time with the Lord Jesus Christ and with our Father God to really open up our hearts and say, God, whatever you have for me, that's what I want. That's what I want to do. And then we put our desires, our will behind us, and we press on towards the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants of us. He wants us to be an example of who He is, His arms extended, His love going out to people. So, praise God, and that's not anything what I had planned. I have 3 pages, but that's not anything that's on them except for that one scripture in 2 Timothy. But I would like to leave you with this. I can remember growing up in church, and I can remember going to mother-daughter banquets all the time with my mom and my grandmother and other family members. And every year, when we were just little, my cousin and I, they always had us sing this song about mother. And I'm just going to read the words to you today because I don't think I could sing it without crying. But it's M is for the million things that she gave me. O means only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she said she shed to save me. And you know, I'll stop there a minute because I thought, why does that say tears that she shed to save me? Well, it was tears she shed in prayer so that we would be saved, that we would know Christ. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. R means right, and right shall always be. Put them all together, and they spell mother, a word that means the world to me. And then I ran across another verse for that, for mother. M is for the mercy she possesses. O means that I owe her all I own. T is for her tender, sweet caresses. H is for her hands that made a home. E means everything she's done to help me. And R means real and regular, you see. So put them all together, and they spell mother, a word that means the world to me. So I honor all mothers today and bless you and encourage you to pray, to live the life of Christ before your family, and they'll all come in to know the Lord.
This next lady is also an elder in our church. Been here with us as long as I've been coming here, 25 plus years. We were started the house down the road, and so we're, you know, 22-something years plus full-time, which is a grace of God, and so praise God, we appreciate that. 1996, Miss Barbara Fish began to share with Candy and I some, that was when we had tapes by a man called Dave Roberson, and I didn't know who Dave Roberson was, although he would come to the church that was just like almost right across from the house from where I lived. I lived on Plantation Road in Fort Myers, and he was coming to Love and Grace Fellowship for oftentimes he would come there and he would speak with Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Seville, and a number of Charles Capps, different ones, and but I had never seen him, and Barbara began to give us tapes to listen to, and it began to change my life. In 1997, March of 97, she invited Candy and I to go to Tulsa with her and to visit, and I can tell you that it changed my life, absolutely changed my life. When I came back, I began to share with Candy my plans and where I knew what the Lord was saying, and Candy said that she's, you know, you've heard her own testimony. She said, you know, it just, she wondered if it wasn't a fad, you know, something. And 23 years later, this fad's still here. Hallelujah. And Candy's just as much involved as I am. So I say all that to say I am forever indebted to Miss Barbara Fish. I don't know what I'll get when I get there in heaven, but I know she'll get double. Hallelujah. So I've asked her to come and share for a little bit this morning, and she has consented. So, Miss Barbara, would you please come? Let's give her a great big hand. Thank you.
Boy, this is terrible for me to have to follow all of that. I would have liked to have written mine down too and have said it. But I would like to share just a little bit about my dad and my mother. They were so far apart with what they believed. My dad was a Church of Christ. If you didn't go to his church, you weren't saved and you weren't going to heaven. But my mother, that's something else. She belonged to God's church, Church of God. She was, let me just tell you a little bit about my mother, because if I do, then you'll know more about me. She got saved when she was a teenager. Not only that, but there was a little camp meeting. They didn't go into churches in those days, way back then, especially the people that lived out in the woods. And she was about, I think, 16, and there was a little camp meeting out there, and she went out into the woods, barefooted, you know, just thinking that she was just going to get away from home for a little while. And they were preaching and teaching and sharing. She got filled with the Holy Ghost. She said, I didn't care if my feet didn't have any shoes on. I danced all around and got so excited. This was something great. If you haven't been filled, that is the second part of this redemption that we have with God. This is the second part that we need to have. But from that point on, I would like to just give you maybe two or three things that God did in my mother's life. The answered prayer. Of course, she prays for all of us, and we're all filled and all that, you know, we go to church and all that. But since my daddy didn't believe like my mother, and my mother, you know, they agreed to let us go to church at the Methodist church or the Baptist church. So I was Baptist for a mighty, mighty long time. But my mother wanted to go. Let's get back to my mother. She needed a car or some kind of a transportation to get to some of these tent meetings that would come to Immokalee. And so it was a desire of her heart. I don't know how she prayed or the prayer that she prayed, but that's what she wanted. And so they were having a raffle, and my mother bought a ticket. The ticket was only 50 cents. And I know you know where I'm going. So let me finish. They had that for a month or so, and people buying the tickets and all. My dad said one night, they're having that tonight. They're going to tell who's the winner. I'm going to go and see who wins. So my mother, she didn't care. You know, she bought it and didn't think much about it. And but this was the answer to her prayer. He went, and the man said, okay, and they pulled it out of the box, somebody's name, you know. Oh, this is Alice Salmon. Is she here? Is Alice Salmon here somewhere? And they must have said it. My dad looked, and he thought he heard, and he wasn't sure. And then when they said it again, Alice Salmon, where are you? Where are you? And he says, oh, that's my wife. And so he went, showed him the ticket. He drove my mother's Jeep home and gave that to her. And that's how my mother won a Jeep for 50 cents to go to tent revivals. to do what she needed to do. And the other little thing that she did, and that was God. You know, God was in my life from day one, you know. We had to know memory verses. We couldn't read them. We had to know a memory verse every day we went to school. And one day Mom said, "You know what? I don't want to hear that Jesus wept anymore." She says, "Y'all can't use that verse anymore, you know." So, but we started to school. And I didn't have any clothes, any little dresses or anything. And this was in about the second grade. And but I was in the second grade. Nadine, my oldest one, was in the fourth grade. And so we went, Mama, she says, "Let's all pray." This was not just something unusual. We prayed every day. My mother made us kneel down on the couch, you know, by the couch, all us little kids. There were seven of us, and we just all, you know. And but she prayed. She said, "Lord," this is the essence of a little bit about what she could have said. I don't know it, the whole works. She said, "Barbara and Deanie, they need something to wear to school. They're starting to school. They need something." She said, "But now Nadine, she's already been to school a couple of years. She has some clothes. And but we would like to know, God, would you provide us with some clothes?" And just a simple prayer. My mother was very simple. She only went to the sixth grade. My dad went only to the third grade. And but the Lord answered her prayer. Nadine went to school, and after two or three days, she happened to say at the dinner table, "Mom, I have a friend," and she said that her mama went through their clothes, and they got a lot of ones they can't wear, and they just don't know what they're going to do with them. My mama turned around. She says, "Oh, well, when you go to school tomorrow, now make sure you tell her that we would take those clothes, that we need them." You know, Nadine did. They brought, the girl's name was Martha Griffin, and she was, her and her sister was a little bit more older than we were. And we got the dresses, it got delivered, we got them. And you will not believe, Nadine started crying, she's the oldest. Nothing would fit her, absolutely nothing. There were 16 little dresses, and Nadine couldn't fit not in one. Mama let the hem out, she tried to let some of them out, just couldn't do it. And me and my sister had 16 dresses to wear. It's just, it's amazing that your mother can pray and God answers. And I grew up with hearing this. Okay. And I'd like to give my favorite verse, but every time I read the Bible, it's always my favorite. But this one today, and I think everybody should know this one. If you don't, learn it. It's John, little John 4, verse 4. Let me read it to you. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Now just that part, them, listen to this. "Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Hallelujah. We have that authority to move and have our being, and we just don't seem to walk in some of the things that we do know. But Satan is the god of this world, and he is in the world, but he is God. Jesus is the Holy Spirit, and he's greater in every one of us through the infilling of the holy presence of God in us, for us, and to us. And you guys can hear this if you would like, but I would like to address the pastor and Candy for a moment. So you can just listen, okay? I'm committed. I used to say I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit, but now I am totally surrendered to him to do this walk full of faith, with you and for you in my life. I totally want to surrender everything that I have, everything that I will have. And I think that's it. I did have a prophecy. I had some more things, but I'm kind of like the rest of you. I think that's enough for the day. I love you. I love both of you.
Hallelujah. Man, that's hard to follow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I hope everybody out there that's watching is having a good time. We're not through. We're going to have one more come up, and then I'm going to share just for a moment, and we have something for all of our mothers. This next lady is very special in my life. I have been, the next month, June 24th, I will be married to her 41 years. Hallelujah. And I have never been more in love with her than I am right now. So I appreciate her as a woman of God. I can tell you this. Now, I'm not saying this because that there's not others that walk where she walks and other women that walk where she walks. I'm not saying what I'm about to say in dispute of that. I'm just saying, like Gay said, that we need to get to know each other. And I know this woman like no other person on earth. And I can just tell you, standing here before Almighty God, Candy Flint is the best Christian person, lady, that I know, that I personally know. She walks in the most integrity as a Christian of anybody that I know. Amen. Anybody that I know. So, because I know her personally. And I'm glad to have her come and share whatever is on her heart. So, Candy, please come.
That'll be hard to follow, Barbara. Everybody, all you ladies, you did such an awesome job, Barbara, Marcia, Gay, Amber. It was beautiful. What the Lord is having me to share, me and Bronk were out on our date day on Thursday, laying on the beach, and I began to think about, Lord, what would you have me to share with our ladies and the mothers? Not only the mothers, but you men too. You can hear all this. But since it's Mother's Day, we'll address it to the mothers and the daughters. But it's really for every single one of us. I began to recall, and I have listened to a message this week three different times that has made a real impression on me. And on Sunday morning, May the 5th, Alan Taylor, one of the pastors at the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, preached a message called Our Journey to the Promises of God. And you really should listen to that message. I was so blessed by it, and I know that my light for Jesus will shine brighter because of it. He asked one of his worship leaders, Stacy, to sing this song throughout the teaching. And I'd like for us just to hear it right now, and if you'll put the words up there, because these words are just, they're going to bless you. And you can sing along with her if you want to. It's just, she sings through it three times. It's only like a minute long each time. And we're going to do it a few times this morning, and I'm going to say something in between each time. So go ahead with that, please.
Too hard, and I will spend my life on you because of who you are. Nothing is too difficult. The journey. It's not too hard, and I will spend my life on you because of who you are. journey's not too hard.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I will spend my life on you.
Yes, Lord.
Because of who you are.
Thank you, Lord. You can keep those words up there. Alan taught so wonderfully that this song could be a song we sing from our new nature while we are adding to our faith in Jesus. He also reminded us that our new nature was completely grown up from the moment that we were born again. So let's hear it as though it were coming from our own new nature, our born-again spirit. Sing it again, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Nothing is too difficult. The journey's not too hard.
Yes, Lord.
And thank I will Jesus. Spend my life on you.
Thank you.
Because of who you
yes, Lord.
Are.
Growing us up in
the journey's not too hard.
Yes, Lord.
And I will spend my life on you because of who you are.
Yes,
nothing is too difficult. Journey's not too hard, and I will spend my life on you.
Yes,
because of who you are.
As I listened to his message over and over again, and this song was playing through the whole hour. That song was playing. And as I listened to it over and over again, I could see where these same words could have been some of the same words that Jesus would sing to himself while he was on this earth. And he could encourage us even now by singing them to us. These same words could have been for us, to our loved ones, or from us, to our loved ones, and anyone in our lives. But now on this Mother's Day, as a mother, of which I have always considered my favorite calling, I want to say these words to some of the most very special people in my life, my children and my grandchildren. And I wish they were closer to me, but can't get out of the camera, so. Because it's worth it to me to spend my life on you. Every single one of you, because of who you are, I pray for you always with my understanding. And when I don't know what to pray for you, I pray for you in the Spirit. I'd like to play that again, and I want this to be to my family, to my children and my grandchildren. Because I spend my life on you in prayer.
Nothing is too difficult. The journey's not too hard, and I will spend my life on you because of who you are. Nothing is too journey's not too hard, and I will spend my life on you because of who you are.
Thank you, Jesus, for my family.
Nothing is too difficult. journey's not too hard.
Thank you, Lord. You are our strength, Lord. You are our song, Jesus. I worship you
because of who you are.
Thank you, Jesus. And because it's worth it to spend my life on you, because of who you are. Now also, especially, I want to say to my daughters and my sons, this goes out to Watson too, he's out there working today. I want to encourage you in this. Whether concerning your life, in your jobs, or in your homes, or raising our children that God has entrusted us with, let's remember that they are God's children first. Concerning any of the cares of this life, don't ever forget who you are on the inside. You are always complete in Him. You are more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. Always remember to cast every care on Jesus and let Him care for you. It's in Philippians 4:6, to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And now to my grandchildren. All of my grandchildren, I want you to look up here at Nana. Always remember how much, how very much Jesus loves you. And you can do, or you cannot do anything more to make Him love you more. He already loves you just the way you are, and you could never, He could never love you more. He always is in you, and He loves you when you welcome Him. He loves you anyways, but you need to welcome Him and let Him love you. He is always in you, and you can talk to Him at any time. And always remember that you are God's child first. And you were born again into the family of God and into our family for a very special purpose. He has a perfect plan for your lives, and all you have to do is sincerely look to Him and love Him with your whole heart, and He will give you all you need to live your life for Him. Nothing is ever too hard for Jesus to do, and you can do all things with His help. Just call on Him, and He will answer. Where does our help come from? It comes from Jesus. Amen. Play that one more time, please. That's it. Thank you.
Nothing is too difficult. The journey's not too hard. And I will spend my life on you.
So great. Thank you, honey. It's fantastic.